Hey, so it's Dasein of Philosophy here. Hope you guys are having a great weekend. On today's episode 2 of the Being in Time project, we'll be looking at sections 6 through 10 of Heidegger's Being in Time, and hopefully you guys get a little bit of value out of this week's podcast. So let's get right into it. Section 6, the task of de-obstruction, unblocking or unlocking, of the history of ontology. Historicality is a previous determination of to history. It is also the adventure of Dasein that renders both world history and Dasein's historical belonging within the world history possible. In other words, Dasein creates its own history, and Dasein has its own position within history. Dasein is a fact of being, which means that all its paths of being make up part of Dasein's own being. Dasein is the historian of its own historicality, so for Dasein to be able to see the question of the meaning of being in general as a historical question, Dasein must document its own life. Tradition and culture can lead towards the decline of the importance of finding the origins, or even completely forgetting about the origins of ontology. We must remind ourselves that all traditions have an origin. Therefore, we must not forget that the question of the meaning of being also has an origin. De-obstruction is the intention to give the past an important role in the determination of something's essence, instead of rendering the past useless in this determinative process. To analyze the notion of temporality, we must first ask ourselves the three following questions. 1. Has the meaning of being been linked to the phenomena of time? 2. At what point did this link occur? And 3. Is temporality necessary for the meaning of Dasein? Kant mentions temporality in his philosophical piece Critique of Pure Reason, a piece written with the inspiration of Descartes in mind. Descartes introduced the cogito, which means to be certain, to the Western world. The idea of the cogito, leads towards an implantation of a fatal prejudice that would lead the era towards becoming disinterested in the question of being. Greek antiquity's explanation of being is that being is 1, nature, and 2, the world which is drawn from time. The natural being of the world is presented to us by the present moment. This becomes problematic for our task of deobstruction because we want to place an importance on the past of ontology, but our ontological ground is precisely linked to the temporal mode that is the present. Ancient ontology, like that of Plato's ontology, was developed into a dialectic, meaning linked to logos or reason. The hermeneutics, which means technique, explanation, or interpretation of logos, is a thread of an explanation of being. Furthermore, with Parmenides, ancient ontology also developed into a presentation, meaning that what appears to be presented to us is equally a thread towards an explanation of being. These two explanations of being were not conscious of the threads that pull their goal along a path established by these same threads. In other words, the use of logos, or reason, and appearance to explain being seems to be a prejudice and a presupposition. What is certain is that time has been accepted as an obvious prejudice with explanations of Plato and Parmenides. Aristotle is where we find the first translated treatise on time, which is the foundation of Kant and Bergson's own treatise on time, meaning that the treatises of time written by Kant and Bergson have Greek foundations. In short, our deobstruction of the tradition of ontology has demonstrated that this tradition has Greek origins, which is also the origin of the idea that it is necessary to repeat the question of being in order to penetrate the meaning of being. Section 7, the phenomenological method of research. The method of our research seems to already been established, but we must ask ourselves if this is yet another prejudice and presupposition. Phenomenology is not a certain point of view, nor is it a certain tendency. Phenomenology is a methodical concept that does not search to reveal the contents of the object of our investigation, meaning the contents of being, but instead searches to reveal the way that Dasein grasps the contents of being, meaning the way in which being is revealed to Dasein. An etymological definition of phenomenology is that it is a science of phenomena. Part A, the concept of phenomenon. Phenomenon in ancient Greek is Pavlyov, pardon my pronunciation, I'm just trying to sound it out, which means that that which shows itself or that which manifests itself. Note, this Greek word is also the ancient Greek word for light. We, therefore, have two distinct definitions within the origin of the word of phenomenon. One, that which shows itself, so what something is, and two, that which seems to be, or so what something is not. In German, there are many words that are used to define different types of phenomenon in general. First of all, there's Erscheinung, which means apparition, or bloß Erscheinung, which means pure apparition. Erscheinung is not something which seems to be, nor does it announce its presence. It is something that shows itself through something else. I think that an example of Erscheinung is color. We can never have pure and simple redness, because red always shows itself through something that is red, such as ketchup or blood. Next, there's Erscheinen, which is something that does not show itself, and its presence does not resemble what it truly is. I think that an example of an Erscheinen is death. Death does not show itself, and the death that we perceive, which is the death of others, does not present us with the actual experience of our own death. Part B, the concept of logos. Logos in ancient Greek is, I guess, logos, and according to Plato and Aristotle, logos has multiple significations. Its fundamental signification is that logos is speech, but logos means reason, and its definition and even judgment, without taking a position. While I was reading this section of Being in Time, it was revealed to me that I must learn a bit of ancient Greek and German if I want to continue studying phenomenology in a more serious manner. In short, here's a little list of phenomenological vocabulary that will come in handy if you decide to read Being in Time or any other work of phenomenology. I am just trying to sound out these words. I am not very versed in ancient Greek, nor am I very versed in German. So the first word is aeonic, which is ancient Greek for pure and simple sense perception, which we have access to before we have logos. It is that which we have before our thoughts. Number two is voyev, which is ancient Greek for pure and simple truth, which is something that leads us towards an answer to our fundamental question of the meaning of being. Third is grund, which is German for the base and reason. Think of the English word for reasonable ground. What is the difference between logical grund and ontological ground? Vernunft is German for reason or the act of thinking. And finally, Wahrnehmen is German for perception. Returning to our concept of logos, perception is originally pure and simpler than logos, since thinking is essentially linked to our language and languages in general. Language in general has gone through an evolution, since language did not always exist within human beings. There was a time before the improvement of the Homo sapiens reason where language had not yet been quote-unquote invented. On the other hand, humans have always been able to perceive the world around them since their birth of our species and of each individual. Think of a child that perceives the world but does not yet know how to speak. Perception is, therefore, more original and pure since we have access to perception before we can use spoken language, and Dasein perceives before he or she can speak. Part C, the inaugural concept of phenomenology. According to Heidegger, phenomenology is all demonstration of being as it shows itself through itself. A phenomenon is an Erscheinen, which means something that appears without a hidden essence behind it. The whole appears and there is nothing hidden. The opposite of phenomena is being hidden, which is essence or and existence that is hidden. There are three types of being hidden. Number one, something that has not yet been revealed, whether it is something that is known that has not yet been revealed, or if it is unknown that something has not yet been revealed. Known unrevealed things and unknown unrevealed things. Number two is the buried. The buried is something that has been revealed but has returned to being concealed. Something that is either returned to a total concealed state where the whole concept is again hidden, or something has returned to a partially concealed state where only part of the concept is visible, meaning it has become a seems to be and has lost its full origin. All partial reconcealing becomes a prejudice and a presupposition. Something that is phenomenal is something that gives itself and lets itself be explained by phenomena. Once a phenomenon has shown itself, we have access to all its phenomenal parts. Something that is phenomenological is all that is revealed from the demonstration, explanation, and conceptual appearance within our investigation. The being of Dasein is that it is hermeneutic, which means interpreted, explained, and techne, or technique. The opening of being is pure and simple transcendence. The phenomenological truth is, therefore, in Latin, veritas transcendentalis. We are now in a position where we can give a definition to philosophy. Philosophy is the universal phenomenological ontology which uses the hermeneutics of Dasein to analyze existence, to search the fixation point where our philosophical questions begin to flow and the point where they can be traced back. Section 8, the articulation of the treaty. The question of the meaning of being is the emptiest and most universal of all questions, but it also has the possibility of the utmost individualization of Dasein and its historicality. Each individual is filled with contingencies, meaning traits and experiences that are unique to this specific individual. It is necessary for Dasein to determine what makes him or her such a unique individual and to also determine what is necessary for something to be considered a Dasein in general. In other words, what is necessary for the essence of Dasein and what makes oneself a unique Dasein separate from all other Dasein. These questions must be answered if we wish to continue towards finding the answer to our question of being in general. The Treaty of Being and Time is divided into two parts. The first part of the treaty concentrates on the following questions. What is Dasein and what is the temporality of Dasein? The second part of the treaty searches to clarify the fundamental traits of phenomenological unveiling. Section 9, the theme of the analysis of Dasein. There is a link between being for itself, Dasein, and being in itself, being in general, and this link results in 1. Being there in front is not Dasein, so existentia refers to being there in front only. Existence is a determination of being, just like Dasein, so existence and Dasein are there in front. Furthermore, the characteristics of Dasein are not his or her qualities, but his or her possible ways of being. Finally, Dasein does not express his or her own proper essentia, but the essentia of being itself. 2. Dasein has the possibility to choose his or her way of being at every moment. There are two modes of being for Dasein, propriety and impropriety. Impropriety is the determination of Dasein as what he or she has in the most concrete of ways, meaning in Dasein's activity, emotion, and where he or she finds his or her pleasure. By analyzing my own being, there is already a well-assured starting point found from one possibility. This possibility is found within the average everydayness of Dasein. We must reveal that which Dasein is, firstly and most often, in his or her indifference. In other words, we must ask ourselves the three following questions. Number 1, what is the pleasure that occupies my time firstly and most often? Number 2, what emotion do I feel firstly and most often? And number 3, what activity occupies my time firstly and most often? Our answers to these questions become our being in the average, which is effectively the undifferentiated everydayness of Dasein. Ontically, this undifferentiated everydayness is the closest and the most known to Dasein, but ontologically, it is the furthest and least known to Dasein. The average everydayness of Dasein is the escape and the forgetting of oneself. The determination of the existence of Dasein's own being will lead us towards the concealing of Dasein's very own being. The characteristics of the being of Dasein are existential, whereas the characteristics of the being of being in general, which themselves are not part of Dasein, are categorical. The first part of this treaty asks us what a human being, or what Dasein is. We are looking for an a priori answer. In other words, an answer that does not require any specific experience to grasp. This means we are looking for an answer that precedes psychology, anthropology, and an answer that is stronger than that is given by biology. We want to find a stronger and more concrete definition than a human being or a Dasein is a Homo sapien. Section 10, the delimitation of the boundaries that separate the analysis of Dasein from anthropology, psychology, and biology. Anthropology, psychology, and biology pass alongside our fundamental question, which is the being of Dasein. If we take a little look at the history of the question of being, we can see that after the cogito sum of Descartes, philosophical questioning was concentrated on the cogitare of the ego and has set aside the sum. The cogitare of the ego, in general terms, is consciousness, whereas sum is existence. What is important for us and what is important to the question of being is effectively existence, or the sum. Biology, which is the scientific research of life, more precisely the nature of living beings and their interactions with the abiotic and biotic world, has but one fault. The fault is that this scientific research of life is not an ontological problem. Furthermore, according to Husserl, a person has an essential constitution other than that of natural things. According to him, a person is a unity of body, soul, and mind. Traditional anthropology is fundamentally Greek and Christian. A human being is defined as a rational animal. A theological thread is that human beings are in transcendence towards a state that is closer to that of God, because God resembles humans and God is also linked to mankind. By the way, Dasein is the only being that can access biological, psychological, and anthropological knowledge. The answer to our fundamental question is not an empirical answer, since empirical knowledge is amassed, whereas our answer is already there. We must but reveal it. All right, so that was sections 6 to 10 of my Being in Time project. Hope you guys learned something new today. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to let me know and send me an email, or send me a message or comment here on the podcast. And I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And hopefully the weekend treats you well and you guys get some rest. And I will be back with more Philosophy Sundays next week on Sunday. Have a good one. Patrick Calera here, aka Dasein, a philosopher, and hope you guys continue reflecting and figuring out who you are.